What's up, our soul humans? This is Zach, co-host Neil.
Co-host, hey.
What's co-host, up? Hey, bud. Man, we both, going into this, we're just like, oh boy, let's see what we can do today.
We're just going to stretch and foam roll instead and call it. We're going to do a guided mobility session.
Oh,
instead of a guided meditation. We'll do some meditation in that, actually.
Yeah.
We'll do guided intentions and breath work through mobility.
There's going to be a lot of background noise as I consistently drop and bang my microphone against my forehead and shit while I'm trying to foam roll.
It's going to be rough. Just like a lot of groaning. So, hey, if that's your thing, enjoy. 30 minutes of Zach and Neil.
ASMR of just us trying to fucking do mobility work as old men.
It's the most disgusting ASMR ever.
Oh, my hip.
Could you imagine just like some awful, like 60-year-old grandpa just decides to make an ASMR channel and it's just like,
just him getting up out of and back into his lazy boy thinking chair.
That's what you get today, guys. Welcome.
Welcome.
You're in store for quite a good one. As you can tell, by the way, we start this episode, it's going to be a good one.
By the way, do you like ASMR?
I have never like gotten into it, but like when I get random videos on a feed, like I stop and enjoy it and let it be pleasant and then move on with my life.
So you do like it a little bit?
A little bit. Okay. Depends. I don't like food, like people who do like food at ASMR videos. Like I always hated those.
Yeah, it's too,
where they like click on like tap too moist, like, and do all these things. I'm like, no, I'm not down with that.
Yeah, that's ew. Yeah.
But there's no, one, like, there's like this woman who has this little, I don't know what it's called. They're like basically mini huskies. And she just grooms it. And she does ASMR videos out of that, of like washing it and like cleaning its paws. It's absolutely fucking adorable. It makes your heart melt. And then it also is very relaxing too.
Oh, is it the little baby huskies, and she does like spa days for them where she rubs like oil in his ears and all that? Yeah. It's so cute. Right
now. That sounds great, though.
It's so cute. Oh my God.
Let's get puppies and have a spa day.
Let's do it.
Or we can raffle
it. It's a spa with a W at the end, by the way.
Clever.
I remember seeing the comments to that video the first time I saw it, and dude, the vitriol in the comments was like, people were mad. They were jealous. I could tell they fucking hated their lives and they wanted everybody to know about it.
Apparently you've never cut your own nails.
Yeah.
Or relaxed. I mean,
I know. I was like,
as I'm looking at my nails, like, I need to cut my nails right now.
So, black.
Yeah. That's my toxic trait right there. I wait way too long to cut my nails. My girlfriend hates it too.
You have the fingernails of a wizard who lives in a tower. You know what I mean?
I mean, I'm a fucking wizard who lives in a tower. I don't need to cut my nails. Get out of here with that. I shall not pass.
Oh, fantastic.
Okay, all that's right, our episode.
Bud. Yeah.
Hope everyone enjoyed that.
That's it. Thanks. All right. If you guys are taking anything away from this.
It's Neil and Zach are need a break.
Yeah, exactly. No, the Neil is a magic man. Oh, fuck. I dropped my phone. Well, what's our topic for today? Because I dropped my phone.
Our topic today is dun, dun, dun. I don't know. I need to check my phone.
So basically, I actually do remember it. I'm being a spaz. I did drop my phone, but at least I remembered the topic. So the topic today is the idea that when challenge arises, as challenge is arising internally for both Neil and I right now, as challenge arises in the world, you have two options, essentially. You can either open your heart or open yourself up to the challenge or open yourself up to the internal experience, or you can shut yourself down. That is the invitation that the world gives us. So Neil, when I bring that up, is there anything that comes up for you? Any examples or any insights that come up?
I actually have an immediate question, but I think that's for a later point. So I'm going to save that for later.
Mm-hmm.
No, go on ahead. Let's get into it.
Okay.
Opening versus closing.
The immediate question really, really intrigued me. But the idea of opening, being like opening your heart to the experience of the challenge, right? And a challenge can be an external thing, obviously. But I really think that external challenges are only as potent and as powerful as we let them in to our experience, right? So something that is a challenge for one person is not necessarily a challenge for another person. And the difference is in your internal experience of what is occurring. Our whole experience of life is internal. Everything outside of us, as real and solid as it may be in some way or another, is only as real to us as we let it be in our internal experience. So the point of that being that when a challenge arises, we have some kind of internal conflict, or really some internal challenge. Every challenge is actually in reality internal, as externalized as it may seem. And so the invitation is to either open your heart, and by opening your heart, I mean being present and vulnerable and authentic with the challenge, or to close yourself down and numb yourself out, to reject either the reality that there is challenge, to suppress or repress your emotions, to externalize them and put them on other people or other things, or just really any form of rejection of the emotion or any form of rejection or denial of the situation. Yeah.
What would you say ends up being one of the most common ways that, like, in general, people tend to do that?
One of the most common ways that people tend to close off to challenge. I think it depends on your upbringing and your strengths and your primary form of closure. For some people, closure is anger, right? They get angry at their partner, they get angry at their friend, they get angry at the person that cut them off on the road, or they get angry at the person that told them that they filled out the wrong form at the DMV rather than just being like frustrated with the process of bureaucracy or anything like that. They make it somebody else's fault, right? Or they go to war with the experience within themselves, and they try to empower themselves through anger. For some, it's numbness, and that numbness can be primary, right? It can just be like a shutting down of one's emotions. It can be externalized in the form of drinking, drugs, pornography, TV, food, exercising a lot, sex, you name it. Baking, like, it can be really anything, like anything where you're like, I'm just going to blow off steam or whatever, rather than being present. Like, I'm going to ignore what's happening and do something to take the edge off and get my mind and my heart off of the thing that I'm experiencing. It can be guilt or shame, some form of self-defeat, where one is like either so afraid of failure, or the self-worth is so low, or the fear of rejection is so high, or whatever it might be, that instead of trying to address the challenge, you instead punish yourself as a means of recruiting help, or as a means of making, it's like playing dead in a sense. Like, shame and guilt are almost ways of like playing dead. They're ways of either getting other people to come to our aid and save us from our problems, or they're ways of accruing self-pity from, or accruing pity from others so that the challenge is lifted or decreased in intensity. But ultimately, like, there are certain challenges that cannot be lifted, right? And the mechanism of closure is oftentimes one of the challenges. So when we close ourselves to a challenge internally, we're actually creating a second challenge, you know?
Creating a secondary problem there.
Yeah, exactly. Because, like, now you have the problem of your closure.
Okay. So would you say that it could just, the way I'm seeing this is that as something arises, we in some way or another end up rejecting the truth of the experience and then project that through some sort of something more negative, be that like shutting down or taking it out on someone or numbing out or whatever it may be, and you end up having some coping mechanism to be able to avoid what it is that actually is going on and wanting to be experienced.
Exactly. It's trying to change the reality around you, essentially, so that you stop feeling the feeling, right? You see something in the world around you and you say, oh, that's challenging, or oh, that's a problem, or oh, that's an issue that needs to be resolved. But really, the challenge or the issue isn't the thing that's happening outside of you. It's your experience of the thing that is, because really the reason you want to solve the problem is so that you'll stop feeling the way that you feel. Right.
So whereas,
and so go ahead.
I'll say, so whereas if you were open to it, then what would that typically look like for somebody?
Yeah. So I'll address that in a second. I think I'll bridge to that. And I think, you know, what I'll say is that we try to solve the problem externally because we think that's the most direct way to stop feeling the way that we feel, when in actuality, it is the most circuitous, difficult way to deal with the way that you feel. Like, to change the physical reality around you, be it somebody else's behavior or, you know, the processes at the DMV of bureaucracy, or, you know, the person that cut you off to get them to start driving better or whatever. These are some of these tasks that are impossible, you know, and we think yeah. that it like that if we just made something different, then it would fix the way that we felt, and we'd have to exert so much energy to make that happen, or we recognize that it's implausible or impossible to do that. And so we end up feeling more powerless in the end than we did in the beginning, when actually the much more direct way is to just deal with the emotion head on and to like resolve your inner conflict. And then at that point, you probably don't even care that the thing is happening. And this is obviously, we're talking about day-to-day life stuff. You know, we're not talking about like, you know, genocide and like war and like awful shit like that, right? There, those are things that need to be addressed, right? But people cutting you off, you know, you and your partner getting into a fight, right? You having some kind of conflict at work or whatever. And so can you rephrase or can you restate your question so that I can remember?
So what would it then look like for someone who were choosing to be open in the face of whatever it is that's going on?
Yeah. The first step is just acceptance. Not like total acceptance over the state of being, or like not total acceptance over, well, this thing is happening, so I'm just going to roll over and take it. But really just acceptance of the fact that it is happening. This thing happened. It is actively happening. And I am feeling this way. I'm actively feeling this way. That's my first step. Because so, and that sounds really rudimentary and stupid and simple, but like in actuality, if you think about it, most people don't do that. Most people go like, oh, this fucking person, like, let me, and they'll just immediately start bitching you about something that's happening in their world without ever taking that gap to be realize like, oh, something happened in the world and that something made me angry. Like that whole step just gets totally skipped over. And so they identify immediately as their anger, or immediately as their numbness, or immediately as their ick or whatever it might be. And they'll start blaming something else for it. Instead of taking a step to go like, okay, something happened and I feel this way now. All right. And then like your first urge is probably going to be, okay, change the thing, right? Like send that text, you know, or send that email, or honk at the person or whatever, right? There's going to be this acknowledgement of anger. And then there's going to be this immediate urge to like act through that emotion and change something. And then the next step is to accept that there is a part of you that wants to change your environment. Like, come to terms with what you're feeling. So, okay, something happened in the world, created a response in me. This is what that emotion wants me to do. And just recognize, a lot of this is just observation. You're recognizing that all of this is happening rather than just being it and doing it. And from that state, you have the ability to choose what you do next. You know, for me, I'm very much of the, like, as I've talked about 8,000 times on the podcast, like I'm very much about just like letting go. Right. I'm very much about just relaxing my body, like stop white knuckling the steering wheel, take a deep breath, relax my butt cheeks, relax my belly, relax my face, let everything in my body relax, so that I'm not clenching down and holding that emotion inside of me and like adding pressure to it. I can just like relax and then let all of that energy that's inside of my body start moving and like going. And really you recognize that as soon as you've just accepted that there's something happening, and you've accepted that you feel a certain way, and you've accepted that there are things that you want to do about it, or you have some desire to do about it, it immediately liberates you and gives you power that you didn't have a moment before. Because now you're not the emotion, you're not the victim of the circumstance, and you're not the anger or the numbness or whatever. You are now a person recognizing that there's an emotion or, you know, a person recognizing that something upset you. Yeah.
You said the word power a couple times, and I've had this lingering thought, and I think this is just actually also a truth of the nature of people, but I feel like the fear to close at a deeper level is a fear of the loss of power.
Mm.
Because you don't want to go into this place, and because you, by going into this place, you lose any power remaining that you have, where in truth, actually, if you allow yourself to go into this place, you get to reclaim power and your some inner sense of self and a little extra strength and oomph of who you are, and rather than hiding from something. But what our nature is to just really hide from it because we're trying to hold on to what little bit we have left. Mm-hmm. We get scared of that.
Yeah, absolutely. There, you know, it's a redefinition of power. Mm-hmm. It's retraining yourself to appreciate the authentic power of the soul, rather, as like Gary Zukav would say, right?
Power of the ego.
Exactly. And the power of the ego. Like, you think that if you exert yourself onto a situation and you change it, then your ego is powerful. And that is a really double-edged sword. It's a sword of pride, right? And pride by its very nature is a defensive position, right? If you act from pride and you succeed, you feel inflated. But that inflation is as fragile as the thin rubber of a balloon, right? Or the thin latex of a balloon. It can be deflated very easily. You could, you know, like a simple example of pride is like you get a new piece of clothing or whatever, or a new watch or a new shirt or a new purse or whatever, and people start complimenting you on it. And you're like, oh, fuck yeah, like I look hot, or oh, fuck yeah, like I got this nice watch, I'm rich, or whatever it might be. And then as soon as somebody's like, I don't think that color works on you, or like, you know, you see somebody that you're into and you look at them and you think they're going to be attracted to you because you're wearing this fancy piece of clothing, and then they just couldn't give a shit and you just like feel deflated, right? It's tenuous and fragile. Like the power that you think you're trying to protect is so tenuous and fragile. Why would you exert so much energy trying to defend a sandcastle when you can move 10 feet up the beach and build something real? You know what I mean? Right? Like you're investing energy trying to keep this fragile thing looking good, and like the slightest wind or the slightest wave is going to just topple it. And then you just have to rebuild the whole goddamn thing from scratch. Why are you doing that? You know, just take a few steps back and understand that you can build something beautiful and it can be totally knocked down. And that's just a part of nature. And go build something stronger up the beach. I had a conversation with my therapist recently, and I forgot exactly what we were talking about, but we were talking about like the anger that I experience. And she was like, you know, well, why don't, it sounds like, you know that there are like things that you want to ask for, or like there are things that you need. So like, you know, why don't you, or rather like sometimes you know that you get yourself warped up with your internal narratives rather than asking for clarification. Like, why don't you ask for that clarification if you know it's something that would help you? And I told her, like, asking for, like, stepping out of my anger to ask for clarification makes me feel weak. Right. And it was that moment of being like, oh, this, because to me, this person made me a victim. Right? Like this person hurt me, and now I'm like asking them for handouts. Like, it's like, I feel like I'm giving them more power when I already feel like they took some from me, and it makes me feel incredibly weak. And so it's the whole point of me saying that is like, it is a very fucking, it takes a lot of courage, and it's very painful to be open when you are emotionally scared. Yeah. Exactly. Right. So we think that we're being more powerful by going on the defensive and exerting our will into the world around us to change other people or to change circumstances. But the true act of courage and the true act of power is to stay open. And it's fucking hard.
That true sense of power, that true strength is never external, right? It's always internal. It's about you and you at the end of the day. So if you're hiding from something within you and not willing to acknowledge this piece of you that wants to be communicated or whatever it is, that's your own cowardice against yourself. I hate you that I just use that word, but like there, that's where the strength and that inner sense of power truly lies, where it's power embodied rather than power. You're just trying to take direction and over conquering something.
Absolutely. And as soon as you said cowardice, I was like, cowardice. The presence of cowardice presumes the presence of brave ice. Then I saw a little piece of ice with like a blue paint on it. And it was just like, you know, they can take our land, but they can't take our freedom. It was very Braveheart.
Braveheart. Yeah, dude, I had it. Yeah, I had it too.
It was a whole thing. And I feel like I've totally derailed us on that. Talking about bravery versus cowardice. And oh, yes. Okay. So one of the ways you know that taking that stance of authenticity, acceptance, and vulnerability is more powerful is you'll just start to see the effects of it in your life, right? We think that we've at some point in our lives, we take on this narrative that if we're not gripping the steering wheel of our life, then we're going to be taken advantage of and that we're going to fail, essentially. Like we need to make our presence known. We need to demand the things that we need. Like we need to make demands rather than requests. We need to be the most, the strongest person in the room, the prettiest person in the room, the most charismatic person in the room, the smartest person in the room, whatever it might be. Like we all think that we need to be the most and that we need to exert ourselves into the world. But if you let go and you just open and you stay open as often as you can, it's a practice. It's not a destination. It's something you have to consistently practice, and it gets more natural, but it doesn't necessarily get easier, right? As you do that, your life will start to organize itself in like a higher form. Like the power of that authenticity and the power of that position, that positionality is like the power of the soul. It's the power, it's aligning yourself to the power of the universe. And therefore, like your options become so much greater. It would be like, oh, well, I have to pay for everything on my own. And then you finally just like let go of that and you're like, fuck it. I'll combine bank accounts with, you know, this billionaire, essentially. And then I have infinite resources, but it's not my money and I didn't earn it and blah, 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 blah. But then the person's just like, I'll just fucking pay for anything you want. It's fine. Like, it's okay. Let go, essentially. And so the universe starts to like front its energy in place of yours, in a sense. And this sounds woo-woo and it sounds like hoo-ha and all that shit. But if you think about it, like, think about you applying for a job, or like, take yourself out of it. You're the person interviewing somebody else for a job, a high paying job, high skill job. You have two people who are equally qualified for it. One person is light and just like they're light and they're charming and they're just relaxed in their body, and they walk in the room and maybe they say something a little stupid, or they like kind of trip on the carpet when they come into the room, and then they just laugh at themselves. They're like, oh man, carpets, am I right? And they pull out the chair and they're just like very natural. They don't like get tense about anything, you know. Something is said to them and they're just like, it just rolls right off of them. And they're just like, I'm just chill with it, you know, versus the next candidate that comes in equally as qualified, equally as experienced, maybe even more so, comes in and, you know, same thing, right? Like they, maybe the door gets stuck on the rug and you can just tell that they're a little tense and they're trying to keep it under wraps because they're in the interview and they're trying to put their best foot forward. And you say something about their resume, you inquire about their resume, and you can tell that it offends them because they get a little tense and you feel it in the room, but they answer, you know, like this person is bristling with tension versus the other person that was just light and chill, you know, and just kind of like, yeah, you know, you're right. That thing was embarrassing, but like, oh, well, right. it's okay. Who are you going to hire? Right. So same thing goes in your life, right? If you are somebody who's willing to just like accept that things that are going to hurt your feelings are going to happen, take responsibility for the challenge that's occurring inside of you, relax, let that thing go, your life will just get better. And you won't have to do anything about it to get better. You just keep putting in the same effort that you've been putting in, and better results will happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're putting out a better version of yourself that way too. And more of that is then returned to you.
Mm-hmm.
We just want to chill out and relax.
Yeah.
That's why we're here, to meditate and get on the foam roller and make old grown man noises all together. And turn into an ASMR channel all together in love.
Whenever somebody makes an old man groaning noise when they're stretching or getting up from a chair, I always make a little fart noise to go along with it. They're always like, I'm like,
I'd be doing that all day long since I work at Stretch Lab. Gotta have some beans before then, shit.
Just be a little ventriloquist.
Oh. I could go for a stretch right now. That sounds nice. I think it's time for some like yoga. We need to hit up a yoga class.
Yeah. We'll be basically doing ASMR in there. the grunting of our inflexible hamstrings. Yeah. Exactly. Two old men. Just two old dudes in duffer caps.
All right. Well, anything else you want to share before we wind it up?
Nah, man. Just
you may have wound it up, but
just accept it. Accept that something's happening. You don't like it. That's fine. Let go. It's okay. It's okay. When you let go and you feel better, you'll come up with better solutions anyway.
Actually, though, yeah. Just you let yourself wind down, you can actually think clearly. Yeah. That's really nice. We like that.
Yeah.
Sit we like you. There. I like you.
I like you. We like each other.
Yeah. Yes.
We like we love you.
Each other, actually. So.
We like me. We like we.
We happy family.
Mm. True.
Hey. And we derailed.
All right. Love you guys. Thank you.